The three men met on the surface of the mushroom while she ensured that the ship was ready for space. Starkiller looked as clean as he ever had, with no evidence left of the gore that had befouled him. Feeling left out, she hurried through the checklist and strolled down the ramp to stretch her legs and to offer an opinion if required. "Open rebellion is too dangerous," the senator was saying. "Coda, I know I owe you my life, but..."
"You don't owe me anything,"
the general interrupted gruffly.
"I told you on Cloud City that I can't help you." "He's your hero," Coda said, raising his chin in Starkiller's direction. "And it's his rebellion. Join us because he's asking you to, not me."
The senator rubbed his bearded chin, weighing his options. "You're the first to openly take direct action against the Empire. But we're not prepared to go to war. We need weapons and starships and people with the courage to use them. I don't know how many others will stand with us."
"Ships and weapons we can find," said Coda.
"There's no shortage of people," said Juno.
"And you're already thinking about who you'll approach first," said Starkiller,
studying the senator with a shrewd expression. Organa looked at him and nodded. "Well, yes, there are other senators who have spoken out against the Emperor, but they'll be hard to convince. Talk is cheap in the Senate sometimes. Action is a much more expensive commodity."
"We just need to show them that the Empire is vulnerable," said Coda gruffly.
"Yes," Organa said. "Show them in a way that can't be covered up or written off as an accident." "Let me meditate on the details," said Starkiller. "I'm sure I'll find the right target. In the meantime, Senator, make contact with your friends and allies. We're going to need all the help we can get." The senator hesitated, then nodded. "All right. Alone, I could not prevent even my own daughter being taken hostage. Together, we might make a difference for everyone in the galaxy." He reached out a hand and gripped Starkiller's tightly.
"That is the hope you've given me today. I will honor it."
Nodding farewell to Juno, he turned to Coda. "What about you, General Coda?" he asked. "Where does your path lead? I have room in my ship for a passenger." Again, Coda snorted.
"Not in your life. The booze is better in the boy's ship."
The apprentice stood in the meditation chamber with his head bowed and waited. The plan was going well. Bail Organa had been rescued and convinced to contemplate open aggression against the Emperor. His daughter, too, had failed to see through the disguise he wore, one of loathing for Imperials and their hard lines against aliens and women. Coda's continuing presence unnerved him slightly, but he was certain he could keep the old man fooled. The disguise was becoming second nature now. But was it entirely a disguise? Certainly when he talked of betraying Palpatine, he meant every word. The Emperor deserved no less for ordering his death, and he remained under no illusions as to the ultimate outcome of his mission. Everyone he gathered to the cause would be used by his master to destroy the Emperor, but not to destroy the Empire. Coda and Bail and their allies would all be killed, no doubt, before putting someone they wanted in charge. But what about Juno's fate? Could he save her from that awaiting the others? He longed to talk openly with her about his ultimate goal, to abandon the lies and the deception with her, if no one else. But the thought provoked a storm of emotion. For every argument in favor of it, there were three against. She had been branded a traitor by the Empire, so had no choice except to follow him. But he couldn't bear the thought of what she might say. So he stayed silent, in the hope that all would become clear on both sides, in time.